Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. Tom Riley. I live in New York. I am the president of a sports nutrition company called VMI Sports.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea for this company?
You know what? I've been in the nutraceutical business my entire career, so over 20 years. And when I first got into it, you want to be healthy. And, you know, I got a job at GNC because I wanted to have access to cheaper supplements when you're on a budget in college. But realistically, as my career moved forward, I took different turns that you're at retail, you can have an impact on one person. You move to wholesale, you can have an impact on thousands of people. And I never felt like the reach I could have was wide enough. And I also felt like selling other people's stuff was not a bad thing because there's a lot of great brands out there. But if you want to have that impact and you want to have a really wide impact, then for me, it was really a passion to make stuff that I felt was really good, but really very specific and serving a need, solving a problem, no matter how niche, right? And so I didn't want to make stuff just for me, but I wanted to make stuff that would solve problems, but I wanted to appeal to a wider audience. And becoming a brand, although a super arduous task, especially in my space, very competitive, was really the route to go. So I think early on, I had wanted to do this, but the evolution of the idea for VMI really started in 2009, I want to say. I was running an e-commerce company that specialized in Amazon third-party resales in Arizona. Is when I came up with the idea for the brand, some of the initial products. So it's been a bit, and the conception of the brand probably didn't happen until about 2013.
Awesome. So like you mentioned that you're solving a problem and you have an ideal customer. So I'm just curious, like, can you just talk more about that? Like, who is your ideal customer and, you know, what differentiates you from your competition?
Sure. So I believe in really getting niche when it comes to dietary supplements because it's not a one size fits all, one shoe for everybody. So an example would be, and we have a pretty wide demographic because of that, because we have several products that solve several different problems, which is, you know, almost the antithesis of what most brands in our industry do. They get kind of linear with one thing, they try and ride that one thing out, and if it's a hit, then they bandwidth out. We did the opposite. We took the slow approach, my business partners and I, and we're solving sort of niche needs in specific areas. And one that's sort of very applicable to a wide demographic is protein powder and digestion. So one of our best-selling products since the inception of the product is called Protolite. And it's basically a whey protein isolate that has not only electrolytes, that's where the light comes from, for hydration, but we put a full dose of digestive enzymes in the product. Why that's important is one of the biggest issues is gut health and digestion of protein, especially for women, but really for everybody over the last 10, 15 years, because protein's been out a long time, but the digestion and absorption of protein has been an issue for many people, gut issues, IBS, so on and so forth. So we wanted to solve that digestive problem. And I think we did that with that product. And so it's very applicable, it's very understandable for the consumer, and it solves a very real problem.
Awesome. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you face in the business today?
You know what? I think the evolution of social selling and social media from traditional selling business to business, then to e-com and Amazon, but the evolution in social selling has happened so fast and across different platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. That speed of that evolution has been one of the most competitive things to keep up with and stay relevant. I think, generally speaking, many businesses are competitive. We happen to be in one where our industry, nutraceuticals, vitamins, specifically sports nutrition, is evolving at a rapid pace. So the two things are really the advancement and evolution of social selling and the social media impact and the competitive nature and level of competitiveness in the business. Those two things are for sure two of the biggest challenges.
So what percent of your business today is retail versus e-commerce?
You know what? Because our business background, my business partners and I, is in wholesale and distribution. These were our prior businesses and career paths. The majority of our business is still business to business and wholesale distribution. And there's a lot of reasons for that, right? So like we make a beverage, it's a pre-workout ready to drink. That's a hard item to sell beverage direct to consumer, right? So we use distributors and contractors that sell in different regions. So that's a different path. You almost have to use distribution and old school tactics, if you will. But a majority of our business is business to business. And it's something that for the last really 18 months, 12 to 18 months, we've been trying to focus on the D2C and the social side. We've brought in some in-house people. We have some agencies we use to really focus on that area of our business because it's certainly the largest area and opportunity for growth for us. And we recognize that we're so heavy in business to business, but we have a substantial business. We should be able to capture some of that D2C business. So that's where our focus is going. But certainly today, it's our biggest opportunity.
So in terms of retailers, like what are some of the retailers? Like, do you got in GNC or where can people find your products?
Great question. So you live in Texas. Texas is home to one of the top 10 grocers in the United States, HEB. I'm sure you're aware of them. You walk into an HEB, you'll see 10 or 12 of our SKUs, maybe more. We're one of the most widely represented brands. And I'm thinking Texas because you're from Texas, but HEB is one of our largest customers because they happen to be, although in Texas, one of the largest grocers in the United States. The grocery channel and the gym health club channel are two of our biggest channels. So chains like HEB, Giant Eagle supermarkets in the Northeast, there's several chains like that, Giant Eagle in the Midwest. So these, let's say 100 to 400 location grocery chains are a good chunk of our business. We have very strong, loud, colorful labels. They are very self-explanatory. So we have eye-catching stuff that explains itself to the customer, which is really what you have to have at retail, especially in grocery. And the gym and health club channel is another channel that's very large for us, mostly because of that ready-to-drink beverage, right? So we do sell some dry goods into gym and health clubs, but we sell in health club chains, you know, independent mom and pops, but anywhere from 10 to 15 location chains to 40, 50, 60, 70 location chains. So we're in some of the largest chains in California, some of the largest in the Southeast, some of the largest in the Northeast. So that drink really has a wide bandwidth for us. I would say today between grocery, independent, and gym, we're probably around 10,000 total doors of exposure. And that's without GNC or Vitamin Shoppe. We today currently don't work with either one.
Awesome. So obviously now we've just started 2024. So for this year to be successful, like what are some of your goals, even from last year, you know, in terms of revenue, percentage increase, like what would be a successful 2024 for you?
You know what? Right now, our goal as a revenue increase over our current pace is a 20% increase on revenue run rate. And for us, it's an aggressive goal, but because we've established some of these other categories in our business to business, if we can be mildly effective in the direct-to-consumer area where we're now focusing, we did see a good increase in both areas of our business last year. This 20% goalpost we have is actually ahead of our growth from last year, but I think we can attain it. A lot of that comes back to, you know, what do you need to be successful, right? So everyone wants to be successful D2C. Everyone wants to be successful on social media. Everyone wants to be successful in all the areas of their business, but what does it take to get there? And the things for us were really having the right in-house people and having the right available inventory. And so we've beefed up our inventory. We've added additional SKUs and flavors we didn't have most of last year. And we've brought some new talent in-house last year that was a big help. So the inventory and the talent really are the two big drivers that I think can help us get to that 20% revenue target increase. And I think that's not only attainable, but we have some other things in the holster for 2024 that we hadn't had before. Namely, we signed a deal with a licensing agency. So we're going to be working with various name brands that you would have heard of for flavor collaborations. So we'll have our protein, we'll have maybe a famous ice cream collaboration. So we'll have some unique things like that. Maybe a famous candy. We'll do a collaboration with our pre-workout. So some of that kind of stuff, which is very popular in our business now, in our industry, I should say, will be big drivers for our sales growth next year or this year, I should say. But I think we have a
For
few things
sure.
to be able to do it.
So in terms of your D2C, obviously that you mentioned that you're ramping it up for 2024, but what does that look like? Like, let's dive deeper. Are you going to be running a lot more Meta ads or Google ads or email, like, or I guess like all those things? Like, what are you guys really ramping up specifically when it comes to D2C?
So the back half of 22 and most of 23, we tested a few different things, and we did quarterly tests because you really got to give a little bit of time, right? So there's a lot of avenues. We could look at email, SMS. It's a big portion for us. We brought in an agency to, I would say, take us to the next level with that this year. And a lot of it is automated, right? So some of that can be put on autopilot. Some of it is coming up with new flows. So there's a balance there between being new and fresh and also just having automated flows, abandoned carts, right? But I do think email and SMS is a staple for us, where we're going to keep funds in focus. I think Meta Ads is an area where we tested on and off for a while in 23, and we realized that between Meta Ads and Google Ads, you do have to have a certain bandwidth for them to be successful. And also, you have to be willing to put that spend over an extended period of time. We do run a business that is self-funded. We have no bank loans. And so for us, our goal is to continue to be self-funded, but also to be profitable. And so we're not really a marketing company. We're a product company, and we want to be a profitable one. So with that, we've basically for 24 paused all Google and all Meta ads. We won't be doing any, unless it's retailer targeted, something specific, a new launch. But no static ads. We're going to take that entire budget and put it into the social avenue. So recruiting ambassadors, field people, micro influencers, large influencers. We have a few things lined up for January actually, to kick that off. But that's where a lot of our time and resources are going to go, is to the social selling, ambassador recruitment. We find that when we poll our customers and we even recruit our customers to become ambassadors, that's the best avenue for our business, is that community, right? So we're going to put as many resources as we can into that, because not only has it been effective for us, but we're putting budget into other places that hasn't been effective. So the Meta and Google, I think, are not a thing of the past, but Meta for sure, Facebook ads for sure, are a different demographic largely, right? And a little bit older, which is, does not totally play to sports nutrition. But from a spend and efficacy, the social selling, the ambassadors, that's a big driver for us this year.
So you guys essentially are cutting those ads because you didn't get good ROAS on it. And you're like, it's
Yep.
better to just focus on these ambassadors, you know, because essentially you're not paying them. You're more, maybe you give them like some product,
Some,
but yeah, you
yeah,
pay
it
them.
depends, right? So what happens in our space, and I'm sure in a lot of CPG, right? But you have your low-level ambassadors that are generally customers that become ambassadors, people that are loyal to the brand, so on and so forth, and they can get enhanced discounts, free product, early release, okay? But then you have your next tier, which micro-influencers. These people might have a mild following, good engagement. Those people are going to get potentially commission if their code is used. Then you move up to regular influencers and athletes. Those people might get a stipend on top of commission. So when you have to layer it with requirements, and that was something we didn't do really well in the past. We did not have a really well laid out plan for that, which we do now because we've brought in people in-house to do that. So by managing it ourselves and building that community and focusing on having a really well-written, well-explained tier system, is a good way for people to understand what they're getting into and also what they get back out. And so that's, you know, 100% where we want to put the resources. And I think where we've already seen efficacy just on a small scale, because we haven't really pushed it.
For sure. So, like obviously now people are looking for the best use case for AI in their business. So for you, like, do you guys use AI? And if not, like, where could AI potentially come in and help out the business?
You know what? So my marketing team has used ChatGPT for some stuff. I think they've used an app called Jasper. There's been a few things where we've tried to integrate some stuff. I do think there's probably a bigger opportunity for it as we build out the D2C side. Pardon me, but I don't know today the best area, because we haven't tested enough to know what would be effective and what wouldn't, right? On the business to business side, probably not today an area where I'd say, hey, I really need that's a hole for us. I need
Right.
AI. But on the D2C side, yeah, probably.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, AI has lots of use cases, whether it's like you mentioned, there's apps where you can use like a chatbot and stuff like that to help upsell. And so, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
It's an interesting question. You know what? You have to have three things that I think you learn the hard way, one or all of those three along the way. And I think in talking to a lot of my peers over the years, and I've been in different sides of this business for a long time, so everyone has a different, you know, I learned this, right? But three common things, and I get asked this a lot, but three common things that I run into for sure are identifying that you have a great product with a target consumer. That methodology is the key, or you don't have anything, right? And you have a lot of people that they're marketing people or they want to market something. And you can be a marketing company, but you won't be a company for a long time if you don't have a great product. So the target product for the target consumer, you figure that out, you're started. The second thing is figuring out what your plan is to market and advertise. You have to have more than one option, but you have to have a plan. You have to have one early. We didn't have one for a long time, and it was very painful. The third thing, and maybe the most important thing, cash is king. I think a lot of entrepreneurs hear people online and social media and, oh, it's you can get money here. You can get funding, venture capitalists. The reality is there's always money out there. It's how expensive is the money? How hard is the money to get? And what does the money cost you? And I think we were lucky enough to be self-funded, but we bootstrapped it. And we went a long time not paying ourselves. And we had hard times. It was a really, you know, it's a really hard thing that I think a lot of people really aren't prepared for. And if you understand cash is king and you need to have revenue flow, operating cash, if you understand that early, even if it means you have to go get money from somewhere, if you understand that early, you're at least planning to be in business a long time. You have a lot of guys that don't. And sometimes they have a good product with a target market and they go out of business because it doesn't matter if you can't afford to make it and sell it. And so those three things, I think, are really key fundamentals, especially in CPG. You know, service industry may be different, but you really, if you're selling a product, those are super important and hard lessons we learned.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for the business?
You know what? I have a good feeling that we'll be able to hit or exceed our sales growth target, our revenue target. I think for the business, it's hard to put a fixed, I'm not a big believer on we're going to do these, you know, specific. When we lay out goals, we have macro goals and micro goals. And we try not to say, oh, we're going to hit 100 million by this date. The goal is, okay, if we're going to hit 100 million in revenue annually, how do we back into that? It doesn't mean we have to hit it by this date, but it is the goalpost. And we want to have things we're doing each day and each month to get there. And it may take 18 months, may take 20 months, but we have the plan to get there and we're editing it and applying it every day. And so I think, you know, if I had to say where we'll be next year, we will be a much more dominant D2C brand. I think we'll be much more well known in the social selling space. And I think we will use that notoriety to enter a category that we are not in today, probably expanding our beverage and on-the-go snack portfolio.
Awesome. That's exciting. And we're rooting for you to have a very successful 2024. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best way to get in contact with you.
Yeah. Best way to reach out to us is either through our social handles. So at VMI Sports, Victor Mary Igloo Sports, and our website, VMISports.com. You reach us on any of those handles. We have contacts on both of those. And what you will do is you will not hear back from a bot. You'll hear back from a real person. That is a big thing for us, even on weekends. We have real people that are part of their job is to reply regularly 7 days a week. So hopefully you guys reach out, anyone watching this, and we look forward to helping you and hopefully servicing your sports nutrition needs.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Dan, thank you so much and best of luck.
Of course. Thanks. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.